Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sean, and I'm so glad to welcome you to our Wednesday, July 18th, 2016, episode number 8 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. Tonight, we will be giving you the very last ever episode of SmackDown Spoilers, talking all about WWE's NXT's show tonight, Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura going one-on-one live on the WWE Network tonight. We're going to be giving you all of our thoughts on that. Coming up next, news and rumors as always. It's going to be a good one, people. It is going to be a good one tonight, and I am pumped. Hope you are too. And now the moment we wait for every week, the host with the most, Mr. Big T McMahon. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. Thank you.
Oh, your mic cut out.
All right. Hello?
Hello?
You're good.
Is it working?
Yep.
All right. So, hello, Sean. Thank you. Sorry about the little microphone technical difficulty there, but that happens sometimes. Thank you again for that wonderful intro, and just like always, every single week, and hello out there to all of you, and welcome to this huge episode that we got coming up at the Beyond the Ring of Big T Wrestling Podcast here. I guess I'm going to open the show today with my opening thoughts, you know, because I've been thinking of things, you know, putting some things in perspective and, you know, really thinking of what's, because there's a lot of things on my mind. I've been thinking of, you know, what to really spotlight to start off with you guys, you know, before we dive into the rest of the stuff. And the one thing that keeps coming back at me is, Dean Ambrose. Now, you know, I gave Raw pretty much a little bit of a below average rating because of the matches that they had this past week weren't, you know, the greatest. If you want to know, you know, the Raw review and what we thought of Raw, the link is down below. Check it out. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Podomatic links are down below. Don't forget to like this video, comment on it, and subscribe on YouTube, because for those of you watching the video version of this podcast, make sure you subscribe and leave those likes. And for those listening to the audio version, make sure that you subscribe and like on Podomatic and iTunes. But, all right, little self-promotion out of the way just to let you guys know everything what's going on. But getting into my opening thoughts, Dean Ambrose. On Raw Monday night, he cut the best promo that I've ever heard him cut in his entire career, like, bar none. And I was thinking, like, I had my head in my hands like this, and I'm just, like, thinking to myself, like, wow, you know, this is really good. This is, you know, what Dean Ambrose should be on the mic every single week, because I just remember just, I had my head down and I'm just listening and I'm listening to Dean Ambrose and I was like, okay, this is a pretty damn good promo that he's cutting. And by the time he got through with it, with him and Rollins going back and forth, Ambrose cut the best damn in-ring promo of his career. I mean, of course it was so good because he had, you know, one of the best talents to work off of with Seth Rollins. But you know, those two guys, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, not Roman Reigns, sorry, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, they are making Roman Reigns look irrelevant. Like, they are building this triple threat match on their own. I mean, by the time Battleground comes around, maybe people are going to be wanting to watch Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose rather than Roman Reigns, because I think Roman Reigns is in everybody's rearview mirror by now, especially with what we heard in the exchange in the promo on Monday night. And, you know, Dean Ambrose, when he is marketed like this, and they take the chains off of him and they let him run this way and be free, let him express himself the way that he did on Monday night. This is the Dean Ambrose that should have been going one-on-one with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. I was thinking this whole time, like, wow, where was this Dean Ambrose against Brock Lesnar? Where was this Dean Ambrose getting in the face of Brock Lesnar and even Paul Heyman and cutting an awesome promo like this? I'm like, WWE, you know this guy has the gift that he has. And it's like, you brought it out now, 4 months too late. You know, I mean, it's better late than never, but imagine how they really could have built up Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose with this Dean Ambrose of present day on the microphone, really killing it on a promo and, you know, being more physical, more violent. And WWE just wanted to keep the chains on, they wanted to hold him back, but it would have made the match at WrestleMania so much more than what it was. And I was just thinking, wow, WWE, why did it take you so long to pull the trigger to finally let this Dean Ambrose out of the bag? Because Dean Ambrose on Monday night was absolutely golden. This was Dean Ambrose at his absolute best, and I hope Dean Ambrose continues to be able to work free like this and cut promos like this and have the chains off like this, because he looked and sounded phenomenal. I got to give it to Dean Ambrose. I mean, of course, the other 50% goes to Seth Rollins, because in order to, you know, deliver a good promo and to be able to be yourself and be free, you got to be working with somebody, you know, that you're a friend of. And I know Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins are really friends, and they've been, you know, they came up together, and Seth Rollins is an awesome worker. I mean, you know, Dean Ambrose, he needed somebody good to bounce that awesome promo off of, and Rollins is just the guy, you know, to do it. World-class athlete. And what those guys did on Monday night really stood out to me. They were the most important part of the show, and I understand, okay, a lot of people were saying that Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins should have fought for the title on Monday night. I'm going to explain to you why that didn't happen this past Monday night. Because you had Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, all the McMahons there, okay? When Vince is there and Vince is going to be on a show, Vince has to be the center of attention. The McMahon family has to be the spotlight. They have to be the show closer. They have to be the main event. All the spotlight has to be on the McMahons. And that's just how it works. So if you would have had the world title match, a WWE title match on Monday night this past Monday, on Raw this past Monday, it would have probably been a middle of the card match, because, you know, Vince McMahon, he would have still said, well, I want my show closing spot. I want my main event spot. So you know what? That's why WWE put this off a week. And think about this too. Nobody has brought up this point. I believe WWE did this also because of the Republican National Convention. With that being televised on TV, it starts Monday. It's like Monday through Thursday or whatever, three big days, and it's here in Cleveland, Ohio. They want to give the best Raw that they possibly can and go out with a bang going up against the Republican National Convention. Same thing with the draft. They're trying to make this the biggest week. So I can definitely see the logic as to why they put this off. It should not have happened last Monday, like some people are saying. I agree with it being this upcoming Monday. And I really think that it's going to be a good thing. Also heard on the draft that they're going to do a 1 hour pre-show and then I think like a half hour post-show. So I mean, the whole draft thing is going to be big. This upcoming week in WWE is going to be huge, but to narrow it all down, what Ambrose and Rollins did on Monday Night Raw this past Monday, absolutely genius, and just perfect, and I gotta give them a hand for what they did.
Man, it is just making me so happy that I'm going to be able to see this rivalry unfold on the 24th. I'm really, really grateful. And I'm definitely going to report with you guys everything firsthand, how it is, what it's like, and how it goes down.
Yeah, and I can't wait for that, man. I want you to take, you know, in 2 weeks on the podcast, 2 weeks from now, I definitely want you to have an open mic to where you can talk about, you know, all of this stuff and fill everybody in, because even, you know, me myself, I'm excited to hear what your point of view is. Like me, I know exactly what it's like, but I'm curious, you know, if you're going to have that same feeling that I get, which I pretty much think you will. It's going to be incredible for you.
Well, buddy, speaking of incredible, I can't believe it, but it's finally here, our last week ever to provide our lovely fans and listeners alike the WWE SmackDown spoilers for this week.
Okay, while you're doing that, I get another, my drink of the week. It seems to always be a Mountain Dew product. I got Mountain Dew Baja Blast this week, so.
There you go.
Let's crack it on open. And let's hear about those spoilers, Sean.
Well, our buddy Mark Middleton of WrestlingINC.com provides the following final ever SmackDown spoilers. And we kick it off with something that I know you will enjoy. Sasha Banks defeated Dana Brooke via submission after the match. Charlotte laid out Sasha. Ooh, I like that.
Now that's, I'm assuming that's got to be building up to, I'm hoping, SummerSlam. Well, they rush into the match. Yeah. What was that, bud?
It's pretty far out to be a SummerSlam.
If they're going to have it at Battleground, then there's going to be a screw job finish then where Charlotte wins. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm cool with that.
Because it's already been said that when Sasha gets the title, it's going to be at SummerSlam.
Well, I will be reporting everyone if I see a clown car somewhere along Washington, D.C. We know Sasha will be having a match that night. But
I gotta convert you. Sasha, man, that's disappointing. One day.
Hey, some people like this, some people like that. That's how it goes. Dolph Ziggler, speaking of this and that, this guy's been pretty much just that. Dolph Ziggler, he defeated Rusev after Zack Ryder came out and caused a distraction. So Ziggler can't even get a clean victory over Rusev at the moment. Oh, well. Rusev went crazy after the match and threw some TV monitors into the ring.
Well, I'll tell you why they're doing this. They're doing this just to try to, you know, give Zack Ryder a little revenge. Since, you know, WWE probably thinks, all right, it's not logical to have Ryder lay out Rusev the way Rusev laid out Ryder. So they're like, let's have Ryder kind of screw with him a little bit. And, you know, that's the route they're going. And this is just going to lead to Rusev retaining his title at Battleground. It really will. Like, I can see just how they're sculpting this and how they're putting it together. And this is just go nowhere. This is just to give Zack Ryder a little TV time, to give Rusev a little, you know, challenger to work with before moving on to a more meaningful feud. And that's all this is.
And AJ Styles and Carl Anderson beat Enzo and Cass when Enzo tapped to the calf crusher. Noticeably absent was John Cena, who hosted the ESPY Awards tonight. I don't know if anyone got to see that, but I saw that Vice President Joe Biden was there with Carl Seager, is that his name? The announcer for basketball.
Oh, Craig Sager.
Craig Sager, sorry about that.
That's okay. Craig Sager, yes.
So Craig Sager was there, LeBron James, John Cena hosted, and Vice President Biden, quite the event. But yeah, we had John Cena's future tag team partners, Enzo and Cass, lose to Carl and AJ.
Well, just from hearing that, I see why they did it, because the club really can't take that kind of hit. Enzo and Cass, they can easily build right back up to it. I'm sure they gave Enzo and Cass a good showing. I mean, I'll see how it plays off on TV on Thursday night, and I'll, do a little SmackDown review after that, but I'll have to see how it plays out on TV, but hopefully they give Enzo and Cass a decent showing.
And after that, Kalisto defeated Tyler Breeze with the Salida del Sol.
See, here's the whole thing. Tag team with Breeze angle, Tyler Breeze wins. Then they put him on his own, and he loses to Kalisto. I'll tell you one thing. This tag team isn't doing anything for Tyler Breeze. This is a lost experiment. Get rid of Breezango. Really get Tyler Breeze on his own and really try with this kid, because he deserves better than this. I mean, Kalisto, yeah, he had his little 15 minutes of fame with the U.S. title, but he's past that. And then to beat Tyler Breeze, I just find that a little disheartening.
Well, after that, we had Miz TV with Darren Young. Began with highlights of Bob Backlund's career. Miz went to show some Darren Young's highlights, but there were none. Backlund tells Miz he isn't a good champion because he's not a good role model. And Miz and Young get face to face, and Young shows an intense side, saying he will teach Miz a lesson at Battleground, and Miz and Maryse leave without a physical confrontation.
You know what? We'll have to see how that plays out, but as of right now, I'm just not invested in that rivalry. I mean, I don't know about you, but it just doesn't strike me or get me excited. I mean, obviously, that's the Intercontinental title match for Battleground, and it doesn't feel like it to me.
Well, after that, there was a backstage segment where Charlotte and Dana Brooke approached Sasha, who is getting medical treatment. Charlotte announces a tag match at Battleground where she and Dana will face Sasha and a partner if she can find one. So a possible tag team women's match at Battleground if Sasha could find a partner. Hint, hint, Bailey, hint, hint.
That's what I was just thinking, and I hope to God that's the case. I want to see Bailey already. I want to see Bailey. I want to see this happen, and I want to see fucking the shittiest women's wrestler in the history of the division, Charlotte.
Sasha.
No, Charlotte. Charlotte, 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 because she is living off her dad's name. If she wasn't a Flair, she wouldn't be where she is. And Ric Flair is such good friends with Triple H, he probably told his boy, Hunter, hey, take a look at my daughter, Hunter. Why not? You're running NXT. Let's get her in here. And of course, Triple H being the man that he is to Ric Flair, he'll be like, sure, Rick, no problem. Let's put your daughter in here. And that's how Charlotte got her start, rather than Sasha busting her ass, having to work up the ranks through nothing, having no family to call on, having nothing but her true talent to get discovered. And Snoop Dogg, he's just not a wrestler. I don't think that, even though Snoop Dogg has a little bit of a connection, it's not like what Charlotte has. I mean, come on. Triple H is probably basically Charlotte's godfather, for God's sakes.
Do you hear this?
Yeah. Yeah, I was able to hear that.
Sorry. I found a clip, and when it was playing before, I couldn't stop it. I was
what is that?
It's a soundboard, free use.
But it's just, Triple H is basically Charlotte's godfather. I'm sure of it. I'm sure it's that kind of a connection. And then with your father being Ric Flair, it's like, and Charlotte is the worst fucking heel in the history of professional wrestling, man or woman. She is fucking terrible. All she does is know how to yell in the microphone. Her wrestling skills suck on the main roster compared to what they were in NXT. Her figure eight's a fucking joke. I hate that move. I hate everything about what she does. I hate everything that she is. She is equal to the talent of Eva Marie, in my opinion. Her and Eva Marie might as well form a tag team, because that's basically where Charlotte is, and Charlotte might as well join Total Divas while she's at it.
Well, with all that aside, all of that funny business, we have quite possibly what was probably the 30 greatest minutes in recent SmackDown history about to come up. Dean Ambrose versus Kevin Owens lasts all of 1 minute before Seth Rollins, who is on commentary, interferes. Sami Zayn comes out to make the save. And then we get a tag team main event. And I am not too disappointed by this, because this is probably one of the best tag team main events of the year. I mean, it's probably one of the best televised main events of the year, just on paper alone. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens defeated Dean Ambrose and Sami Zayn when Rollins hit the pedigree on Sami Zayn. Solid action from all four men. There was some fighting in and around the ring after the match. Ambrose hit Rollins with a dirty deeds in what happened to be the end of the tape portion. So, pretty satisfied with that main event there to end the 15-year legacy of taped SmackDown TV. We are on the new frontier with SmackDown, and I can't think of any better way to send it off than with Miss Sasha Banks' theme song.
What is that? It just sounds like a little blip.
It's a clown horn.
It just sounds like a little click click, you know? It's funny.
Oh, you can't hear it?
I don't think I'm hearing it fully.
Oh well.
But that main event sounds like something that I can really sink my teeth into.
Yeah.
It really does. Like, that alone is going to make SmackDown better than Raw already. I don't understand what is so hard to, you know, get matches like that together and make them good. You know, like, that's actually a multi-man match that's worth watching. it's worth watching in every sense of the word. Now that's a tag match. That is something that you can really invest yourself in. With the personal rivalry of Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins and the personal rivalry of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and you put those four guys together on two separate sides and form two separate teams, hey, I'm down with it. I'll be on YouTube after SmackDown reviewing the show. So if you want to know things more in depth once I actually get to watch the card, it'll be the last SmackDown review that's not live. You know, it'll be the last SmackDown review on YouTube for a taped SmackDown. So you're going to want to check that out Thursday night after SmackDown for sure.
All right, definitely got to check that out, everybody. And now for the main event, WWE NXT results from tonight. Mark Middleton of WrestlingINC.com provides us the following results, where Austin Aries defeated Patrick Clark of Tough Enough fame when No Way Jose attacked Aries after the match.
No Way Jose attacking Aries. It's like I have a feeling that they might try to push No Way Jose here. It just kind of seems that way. No Way Jose is going to be a guy they're going to want to push.
Yeah, I haven't even seen him yet, but hey, hopefully it works out.
I think it'll go okay for them.
And after that, we had Cien Almas defeated Angelo Dawkins.
That, you know, honestly, it is what it is. That match, it's, you know, one of those mid-card matches on NXT. A couple new stars go at it, you know, to try to get their feet wet. It was okay. You know, just one of those mid-card NXT things when they want to try to introduce a couple new stars into the fold to get it, you know, get their feet wet a little.
Well, and I bet your favorite match of the night was up next with the NXT Women's Championship, Asuka. She defeated Eva Marie.
Thank the Lord.
Was it for the championship?
You know what? That, I actually, I don't think it was. I don't think it was for the championship because I didn't hear anything saying that it was for it. But why Eva Marie's even getting to, you know, be in the ring with the champ? I don't get it. Doesn't WWE realize she's a lost cause? Can't they just accept and cut their losses? They should cut her just like they should cut Charlotte and actually get some real women in the division. Those are two women I could live without. Eva Marie, though, first. Please cut her. Please. Do I need to start a petition here on the podcast and get people to sign it? Just like a Fire Eva Marie petition for WWE to realize that she needs to fucking go? Because she's good for shit in the ring. Fact. That's just how it is. And seeing her lose at the great. You still on, Sean?
Yeah, I'm trying to find a detailed description of our main event here. Hopefully I could find that, but
I was going to say, I hope there's one out there because this match.
I can't really find one right now, so I mean, the match went as follows. Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Mr. Finn Balor, Big T, with the description coming up.
This match was everything that you want. It really is. It's everything that you want in a main event. This could have main evented WrestleMania 32. For the title, and blew the roof off of AT&T Stadium before Triple H and Roman Reigns. this was a match that could have main evented any event anywhere in the world. I don't care how big or small. This could have main evented Wrestle Kingdom. This could main event WrestleMania. What they put on tonight, and with Nakamura kicking out of, Balor's finishing moves, and then Balor actually kicking out of Nakamura's finishing move for the first time. When that happened, everybody was in shock.
I found a description if you'd like me to read it.
Yes, that would be great.
Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura by Chris Calicut of WrestlingINC.com. As Big T was so greatly saying, here is a more someone else's viewpoint of the match. Finn Balor makes his entrance to a huge pop. Balor is not coming in as the demon tonight, but in his normal leather jacket and all black gear. Balor still has one of the better entrances in recent memory in NXT or WWE for that matter. Speaking of pops and great entrances, out comes Shinsuke Nakamura as Balor reveals a smile and Nakamura's popularity. We head to a break before the bell rings. The show has done a fantastic job of making this feel like a huge match. The lights lower and we get a full-blown ring announcements for both competitors. Balor and Nakamura trade lockups as they feel each other out early on. Nakamura rests his head on Balor. Finn doesn't take it lightly and does two sweet right in Nakamura's face. Lots of stiff kicks and strikes from both men as the pace remains methodical to this point. We head to another commercial break, and when we return to a quick two count cover, Finn Balor takes out the left knee of Nakamura, and Balor continues to work the knee with a submission. Nakamura fights out, but eats a front drop kick from Balor for a two count. Big chops from Balor to Nakamura in each corner of the ring. Another big blow to the knee and goes into a modified surfboard. Balor uses the double stomp for a two count, and Finn stays in control with a heel hook, but Shinsuke makes it to the ropes. They trade strikes, but Nakamura uses the injured knee for a reverse strike that takes down both wrestlers. Nakamura strikes Balor repeatedly with the injured left knee and takes down Balor. Nakamura delivers the patented knee lift to Balor for a two. Balor hits a shot that sends Nakamura to the outside. Balor sends a swift kick to Nakamura's face as we head to break. We return with Balor delivering a double stomp for a two count, and Balor applies another submission to Nakamura's left leg but reverses. Nakamura sneaks into an arm bar and then a triangle choke. Balor gets his leg to the rope to break the hold. Nakamura gets in a flurry of strikes to weaken Balor. Balor recovers and does a reverse version of his 1916 for a two count. Nakamura regains control and lines up the Kinshasa, but Balor counters with a double stomp. The crowd begins chanting fight forever, and well they should. They trade extremely stiff shots in the center of the ring, and Balor hits a sling blade. Balor kicks Nakamura to the corner to set up the coup de grace, but misses. Nakamura delivers a big knee from the second rope, and Nakamura lines up Balor and hits the Kinshasa. 1, 2, and 3. Nakamura defeats Finn Balor in the battle of the NXT icons, and quite possibly the best match we have ever seen. Your winner via pinfall, Shinsuke Nakamura via the Kinshasa. After the match, both men show each other great respect, and you can feel a passing of the torch. If Nakamura remains in NXT after the brand extension, Nakamura celebrates in the ring as we go off the air. Thank you very much to everyone involved.
That was, I'll tell you, this match, it's a classic. It's a classic that will live on in the annals of time forever. That is a main event match. That is a legit main event anywhere in the world. this could have been at WrestleMania 32 in the main event for the world title, and people would have been a lot happier than having Roman Reigns and Triple H. I mean, that's just how it is. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the company or how famous you are. It's about just the pure talent and what people really want to see and how they really want to see the art of pro wrestling. And this match embodied that, embodied it in every sense of the word. It was a complete spectacle that I wish we could get on Raw and SmackDown TV. See, it's things like this that make you proud and make you happy and make you love to be a wrestling fan. But, you know, it doesn't happen too often. And when it does, we just get so blown away. Like, I was so blown away tonight. And I just hope to God, I really do hope to God that these men will meet up again somewhere down the line on the main roster. This is a feud that I would be able to watch play out for 4 months, like how they have some feuds do, or this is a feud that I could watch this feud for a decade, like Randy Orton and John Cena. I could watch this on and off for a decade. These men know how to work together, and I can't put it any simpler than that. These men know how to work with one another, and they are damn good at what they do. And their match, it was a 10 plus. I don't even think a 10, like, this is so much more than just a 10 match. This is a perfect 10. This is like one of the most perfect matches ever wrestled. This was like watching two artists paint a canvas, and they told such a wonderful story. And you know what? They built this for a month. Like Regal, when he announced it like a month ago on NXT that this is going to happen. This is what you do. You build it. You get build. You get that excitement. And you put those two men in the ring to fight and show you that undoubtable passion that they have. And I got to tell you, this deserves the utmost applause. Incredible, incredible match. It's like, thank you, Lord, for letting me be here to see such a perfect match. And I will always praise those men for what they did in that ring tonight.
Wow. Man, I can't wait to watch it.
I hope, Sean, that you do have time to watch it, because you want to see what the real sport of wrestling is all about, what the real competition, what I basically rant and rave and say what I want on the main roster, and what I say the changes that I want, and what I want to see as a fan, and what I need. This match is all of that. This match says it. It's like, now whenever somebody would ask me, you know, what's your problem with the main roster? Or, you know, what do you want to, what is your idea of what you want to see on the main roster? I'd be like, you know what? Go back and watch Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura from NXT, July 13th, 2016. You'll get your answer. Because this match was incredible. That match. Sure. Classic, Sean. Classic. And I hope to God you can watch it. I really do.
Oh, I definitely will be.
It's one you don't want to miss.
So
what's that, bud?
Oh, no. Keep going.
It's, you know, it's just something that'll really make you feel proud. I wish this is something, you know, that would have been taking place at Battleground for you. Because this is what wrestling is all about. It really is. And it's a shame that Vince McMahon can never look himself in the mirror and see that, you know, this is what I need on, you know, my main roster product. It's crazy. But at least Triple H knows. Triple H gave us incredible quality tonight.
So, what's your first news story of the night?
Well, I was just gonna say, since, I know we've been on the air only 39 minutes, I was gonna say, is it alright if I can do like a quick 5-minute run through of the Cruiserweight Classic? It seems like we're running a little bit ahead.
Yeah, I just have to, you know, I mean, I don't care what you do, but I'm, you know, like I told you before, I'm going through a lot right now, so I wanted to get to bed, but go for it.
Alright. Now, Shinsuke Nakamura and Finn Balor. I don't know if, God, I'm just thinking of this, you know, from a draft standpoint real quick. I want them to be drafted to the same show. I really hope that they get drafted to the same show. Because I want to see these guys wrestle again. If they don't, that's really going to be disheartening. It really will be. And I don't know, I'm just kind of concerned right now. Let's see. Because I don't want these guys to be split up, but you know, we got to see how this is going to go. I'm pulling something up on Cage Side Seats right here for the Cruiserweight Classic. Alright. Alright, so this is fairly quick. Alright, this is for the Cruiserweight Classic that aired tonight. If you guys want to know the results, July 13, 2016. Now, the moment you've all been waiting for, the first Cruiserweight tournament on the WWE Network is finally upon us. And, let's see. To give you the results here. Now, don't forget these are pre-taped broadcasts. I'm not giving you spoilers. I'm giving you, what we've seen tonight, and we've seen Gran Metalik of Mexico defeat Alejandro Sainz of Chile via pinfall, and then we got, your first match was, yeah, Gran Metalik of Mexico defeated Alejandro Sainz of Chile via pinfall. Ho Ho Lun of China defeated Arya Davari, which is from Iran, via pinfall. Then we had Cedric Alexander from the USA defeat Clement Petiot of France via pinfall. And we had Kota Ibushi of Japan defeat Sean Maluta from Samoa via pinfall. Now, just to give you guys what I thought of this show, the show was a solid 10 out of 10. Go and check it out and see all these matches in full. You guys will be completely blown away by what you see. You really will be. I'm not going to stir you wrong. The Cruiserweight Classic was indeed, you know, it delivered. It delivered what it was, you know, expected to. And I couldn't be happier with what I saw. And, you know, I hope you guys will enjoy it too. But, yeah, that's it. Just something quick for the Cruiserweight Classic. Before we head on into news and rumors, I just wanted to throw that in real quick, but I'm not going to get into detail because, you know, then we'll go through the whole thing, but I'm just giving you, you know, a little rundown of it, and that's what I had, and I hope that, you know, you guys will get to check it out on the network and enjoy it because it is exclusive on the WWE Network, so check it out.
Very nice.
And then I'm looking for my first news and rumor story of the night for us to dig in here. And let's see. Taking me back to cage side seats here. All right, my first news and rumor story that I'm going to give to you guys is WWE Raw ratings for July 11th of 2016, this past Monday. Viewers up for Vince McMahon's return. So, viewership for this week's episode of Monday Night Raw was always going to be, was always going to be up from last week, if only because WWE did not have to compete with a national holiday. Although they did go up against the Home Run Derby just to ensure, just to ensure that would happen, Vince McMahon was also booked to make his return. Sure enough, viewers jumped to 3.17 million viewers, up from last week's 2.65 million. The hourly breakdown shows holding out on Vince's appearance until the end of the show was the right play. And the first hour, which this is surprising, you don't see this too often. Hour one, the first hour, was the lowest rated of the entire show with 3.04 million, which hour one or hour two usually is the highest rated, but hour one is the lowest, 3.04 million viewers. Hour two, 3.23 million. And then hour three, 3.23 million, staying the same. Raw kept their viewership, and I think they were all waiting on the whole thing with Vince McMahon. So, yes, definitely a right play by WWE there. And let's see, they have already announced big things for Raw next week as Dean Ambrose defends the WWE Championship against Seth Rollins. And Shane and Stephanie McMahon will name general managers for Raw and SmackDown, respectively. It is also the night before the WWE draft. Expect the number to go up again next week. And for complete results and all that good stuff of this whole draft, if you guys want the complete results, make sure you tune in to the Beyond the Ring with Big T podcast. Tuesday night, the night of the draft, where we will keep you updated throughout the whole entire draft. We'll review Raw for you. We'll, you know, be on the up and up about the entire draft. It is going to be a huge, huge show. So make sure you tune in for it. But Raw viewership up this week. I mean, I guess it's to be expected. Although with the Home Run Derby, you know, I'm kind of surprised that WWE was really able to get that big of an audience in with the Home Run Derby going, because usually when there's a sporting event, the ratings suffer. And the Home Run Derby being, you know, one of the biggest events of MLB All-Star festivities, for WWE still to get a decent rating, that is awesome. But the whole thing is, that tells me could Major League Baseball even be kind of hurting in the ratings since they weren't able to pull in, you know, as much as they probably thought they could WWE. So, you know, there you go. Some things to think on right there. But if you got anything you'd like to say, Sean, about the ratings increase, the floor is yours, my friend.
Not really too much on my mind about that this week, but definitely a great story there. I would like to talk about what the Inquisitor has reported. Joe Burgett of theinquisitor.com, a short little story to kick it off here, something that I'm definitely hoping happens. Here we go. Let me find this here. Like we talked about in our SmackDown spoilers, it was announced that Charlotte and Dana Brooke will take on Sasha Banks and a mystery partner of her choosing for at Battleground. This is a big situation for Bayley because it appears very likely that Bayley will be brought in at Battleground to be the mystery partner for Miss Banks. Since both Bayley and Banks are real life friends and are frenemies in WWE, it makes sense that she would be asked. And also, the draft takes place next week on WWE SmackDown Live, Tuesday, July 19th. We are set to see a lot of NXT stars make their debut in the coming weeks. Finn Balor will be finishing up with his WWE NXT tonight as he takes on Shinsuke Nakamura and lost in a dream match. Due to this, Balor will be making his debut on WWE Raw or the night of the draft itself. Either show will be huge for fans. So Inquisitor.com is outright saying that Finn Balor should be making his debut on Raw or the night of its draft itself or possibly Battleground. And also American Alpha are rumored for next week. However, there are some rumors stating that they may come in the following week. As of now, they are not confirmed as Balor is. Quote, quote, Balor is confirmed. So, lots of good stuff going on there. I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, let me continue here with the situation going on with Finn Balor possibly making his debut at Battleground. Here we go. Sportskeeda.com reports that Finn Balor's debut is expected at the end of July. The IWC has all but given up hope on Finn Balor's main roster debut ever since they caught a whiff of it in April, but true to form, it looks like the WWE will spring the moment on us when we least expect it. According to CageSideSeats.com, the former NXT champion is expected to walk out from under the Titantron soon, but the WWE won't hold off on it until later in July. One breadcrumb that could elevate this beyond conjecture is PW Insider's report that Balor was at WWE headquarters this past week to do some filming. Balor's record title reign of 292 days as NXT champion was broken by Samoa Joe, who beat him at a live event in Lowell, Massachusetts. Balor came up short in his efforts to regain the title when he faced Joe in the first ever steel cage match in the promotion's history. The loss was his first ever in an NXT TakeOver June 8th event. NXT manager William Regal announced that the Demon will face the internals. Oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. That happened tonight. There is a lot of speculation that this might be the passing of the torch if one ventured a little further. A debut at Battleground at the end of July is very likely. Man, let me just tell you something here. I was thinking in that last article, like, wow, I bet this crowd in DC, the energy is going to be out of this world when Bayley makes her debut. But just to think what will happen if what I think is going to happen, if Finn Balor makes his main roster debut
during the six-man tag match with John Cena, Enzo Amore, and Big Cass versus The Club, AJ Styles, Karl Anderson, and Luke Gallows. I mean, if that's what does happen, like I think it's going to happen, I might have a freaking heart attack.
Well, here's the big question, too. Do you think Finn Balor is going to, if that were to happen, let's do a little fantasy booking here, so to speak. You know, if this was to come to fruition and this really does happen, does Finn Balor side with John Cena, or do you think he'll join the club?
I think it might be like this. I think Finn Balor, Finn Balor will be a part, will help out John Cena. But the Demon might be a member of the club almost. Like, I don't know. That sounds, it's sort of like they ruined that possibility by having the Demon Kane being bipolar last year.
Yeah, I understand what you mean there.
They really did spoil that possibility.
It's just that, see, I got a couple things that are striking me in the head here. If you have Finn Balor join the club, this gives you an opportunity to have John Cena versus Finn Balor at SummerSlam, which would be an incredible match. It would be. But when I look at this on the other side, with John Cena getting older and Roman Reigns,
I don't think a part of me almost doesn't think John Cena will even be at SummerSlam almost.
Like that's what I was even thinking myself. See, now here's where another thing comes into play. If you take a look at the roster, you know, Vince McMahon has this fantasy. I don't know if he still has it or not, but Vince McMahon had this fantasy of making Roman Reigns, you know, like the next big star in the WWE, Mount Rushmore, you know, being the ultimate babyface, the number one guy. And see, what I see with Finn Balor is, because he's such a popular guy, he is known all over the world. Even though it'd be cool to have him with the club, I think the WWE, since they did not turn Rollins face, I think that they should have Balor side with Cena. And Balor should go against the club. And they should build Balor into the number one baby face in the company. Because I can only imagine, like I could see Balor merchandise being sold. I could see Balor in the main events of WrestleManias. I can see Balor putting the company on his back, being the company guy. And if he's a heel, he's not going to be able to do that, because, you know, Vince always has this philosophy that you have to be a babyface. And I wish that they would groom Finn Balor to be the part of that WWE Mount Rushmore, so to speak.
And when I was going into work today, I was walking past, like, you know, like back to school and all the book bags. And there was a whole row of all John Cena book bags. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, I remember what you said. You could hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
All John Cena book bags and folders and pencil boxes at Walmart. And I'm like, wow, who's going to be the next John Cena? Who's going to be the next guy to be on the face of the book bags and the pencil boxes? And one person came to my mind, is Finn Balor.
That's the exact person that's coming into my mind too, Sean, and I'm not even kidding with you on that.
Especially because of the story you reported on, you know, that Redicus informed you of, that, you know, John Cena is now on a part-time contract and, you know, he's going off to do different things. It's like they need a new face, and Finn Balor is the face. And let me tell you something. I'm not trying to be braggadocious whatsoever. I'm being legitimate. and I'm very grateful for this. But I think Battleground has the potential to be the most revolutionary pay-per-view in WWE history. Because, I mean, in recent history, sure. I mean, but I'm just speaking generally right now. We're going to have the Shield Triple Threat, Randy Orton returning to address his SummerSlam match with freaking Brock Lesnar, Sasha Banks teaming up with Bayley to take on Bayley debuting, who I think Bayley is the true next women's icon. Like, Bayley is it. Sasha Banks, yeah, I get it. She's hot, but Bayley is the icon there.
Well, Sasha to me is much more than looks.
I didn't mean that looks wise. I meant she's hot, like popular.
You know? Oh yeah.
Trust me. But anyway, and we're also gonna see the debut, possibly, of Finn Balor, who is the next John Cena. And to me, I'm blown away by the energy that is going to be happening at this show. And I can't, it almost feels like it's going to be a dream by how this pay-per-view coincides with the beginning of the draft. It coincides with the whole new era. This is the last pay-per-view of the old era and the first pay-per-view of the new era all in one. And yeah, we probably will have some screw job endings to, you know, push some things along to SummerSlam. But no matter what happens, it will still be that precipice of a pay-per-view. And I'm really honored to be able to report it here on this channel. And I'm really hoping it lives up to its potential here. And I hope that, you know, they do what they need to do. Like, I think they're going to. I think we've gone through enough shit this year where finally we're going to be rewarded.
I pray, Sean, that you're right about that, because,
man, it has to be something good, because if I'm like a freaking cicada, if I don't go to a pay-per-view for every 13 years, well, they better treat me right.
Dude, they owe you.
Yeah.
They owe you. I mean, I'm gonna tell you, you know, right off the hat here, and you know, with Balor, alright, I know Rollins is your all-time favorite. This is what I see out of Balor and Rollins, to be honest with you. I see Finn Balor basically playing the role of The Rock, being the champion of the people that everybody loves, and he's the ultimate hero, and I can picture Seth Rollins being like Triple H, the ultimate villain that's just there, the thorn in Balor's side. That one that's like, you know, trying to hold him down from getting to the top. And Balor's gonna have to crawl and gonna have to fight just like The Rock did to get through, you know, Triple H's, all of his obstacles that he put before The Rock. Like, for some reason I can see that. And I can see people sympathizing with Finn Balor and feeling sorry for Finn Balor and, you know,
I see it a little opposite, where I see Finn Balor almost as like the Stone Cold Steve Austin, where, you know, he's not all about the
title.
He's not all about the talking. He's about, you know, fighting. And his glory doesn't come from, you know, being on the microphone like The Rock did. Where Seth Rollins is even better. I would compare Seth Rollins with The Rock, where, yeah, he's a damn good talker, but at least Seth Rollins is a damn good wrestler too. So I think we're in a whole, I think these Seth Rollins and Finn Balor are going to make The Rock and Stone Cold look like chump change.
I hope you're right, brother.
Technically speaking, it is what it is.
I hope that you're going to be right. I really do. And, you know, I want to see, I feel like Finn Balor and Seth Rollins, they could be that Austin Rock rivalry of the new era. Like, they could be that. They could turn into that. They could go through years and years and years of just having, like, an ultimate rivalry. And believe me, I don't think anybody will get sick of it. I know I damn well would never get sick of it. I know I'd be hanging on everything that they did and just waiting for that time when they would get back in the ring again. Why? Because I'm invested in, you know, these two men. I really am.
I really want, at Battleground, I want Roman Reigns to betray Dean Ambrose and screw over Dean Ambrose and let Seth Rollins win the championship. And that way we have a new rivalry form of Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, and finally Roman Reigns gets shut out because he's no competition to Dean Ambrose. And, you know, Dean Ambrose is a fantastic former champion, but we have, you know, a new rivalry of Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns where they actually hate each other. You know, for the last 2 years, they've always been brothers and blah, 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 you know, whatever. But now Roman Reigns changes. He becomes heel and he's on his way out, obviously, you know, within a year or two, but he ends it with this vicious rivalry with Ambrose, which I think would be fantastic. But that sets up Seth Rollins to be the standout singles champion and have his new rivalry with Finn Balor.
I really hope that's the case, Sean, because Lord knows we need something.
I really hope Battleground is the nail in the coffin of the Shield, because after the triple threat, who cares about the Shield anymore? It's ancient history. It's the old era. It's time to move on.
So then you personally, you never want to see the Shield reunite the way D-Generation X did?
Dude, that... No. I'll be right back.
Okay. I mean... You know, I think about it and I think about it. Even though the Shield broke up, it's like they never really separated. You know, they've been running neck and neck with each other. They have all have gotten the title. They all pretty much have made it to the quote unquote promised land. And, you know, they've just been doing a great job. And yeah, it probably is time for, you know, all of this to move on now and, you know, do something new. But I'm excited. I really am excited to see where this match is going to lead. I really hope that the triple threat match leaves, you know, a clean ending. I really hope it does, because I don't want to have to see a screw job ending for this. I really don't, and I'm praying to God that there's no screw job ending in this, because yeah,
you can't really have a screw job ending in a no disqualification triple threat.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm still thinking about, you know, disqualifications and stuff. I wasn't the old days, but yeah, you're right. It's not that way. It's not that way right now.
I think we will.
I've been very concerned, and I've been very worried that, you know, we're gonna get something that is going to underwhelm us. But I'm sure you can understand where I'm coming from is that I'm so worried of always being let down by the WWE that, you know, it's just how I think at times. And I really am, Sean. I'm not even kidding you. I'm really going to take your positivity and hold on to it with this because I feel I need to. I feel I need to really just lay back and give this a good shot because we need this to close out the old era and usher in the new all at the same time. And I'll tell you this, if they don't have, how did I let this slip through my mind? I hate this. If they don't even change the setups for Raw and SmackDown or change the logo and give these shows a complete overhaul to feel new, that's gonna hurt the two shows as well. We need an overhaul. We need something new. We need something fresh. And God, I hope to God, you know, that this will finally happen. Are you still there, Sean?
Yep. What's your main event story for the night?
Alright. Like how your Finn Balor one was a two-part, I got like a two-parter here involving two guys from, you know, like the old era, so to speak, you know, John Cena and Randy Orton. First off, before I jump into this, I got something real fast. WWE, I guess, is already teasing a match for WrestleMania 33 with Big Show and Shaquille O'Neal. I guess there's a video floating around online from what I'm hearing right now of Big Show challenging Shaquille O'Neal to a match outside of the ESPY Awards on the red carpet or something. So it looks like we're probably going to have Big Show and Shaq at WrestleMania 33, but we'll stay on top of that and, you know, see what happens as it goes along. But, all right, let's see what we got here. All right, Sean, are you ready for a couple of big main event stories here? All right. I hope Sean's still with me. All right. Well, first, these are both from The Inquisitor. And it's funny because Sean's story was from The Inquisitor. The Inquisitor is the one that broke the big news this week, I guess. And you know what? It's from July 9th of 2016. So 4 days ago is when this stuff started to break.
Just to be clear, my story wasn't two different stories. It was just, like the same story with, you know, multiple sources. But let's go.
Oh, sorry about that, bud. WWE News and WWE superstar John Cena shifting to a part-time role with the WWE and retirement upcoming. Well, this is what Sean and I were talking about, you know, in the last story with the whole John Cena, who's going to be the next face. Well, let's see if we could talk about the future of John Cena here. And, all right, WWE superstar John Cena may be one of the biggest stars in the world right now. His work in major movies in 2015 allowed him to get in front of eyes that never saw him before. Of course, most people cannot see him due to the whole gimmick that is John Cena. But you know what is meant here? In any case, Cena was able to be seen and heard, and movie fans responded well to him. Critics have claimed his recent work was great, which is never a bad thing to hear. He is the biggest star in all of pro wrestling right now. So the fact that he is now loved by new fans can only be a good thing for the company. Which, you know, I don't know about that right there. Love by new fans. I mean, I'm just going to give my own quick opinion right here. Like, John Cena has always been, you know, a very polarizing figure. I mean, yeah, maybe I guess he is loved by new fans, you know. That could very well be possible. But in any event here, I put the screen share on so you guys could check it out. There's the headline. This is the story I'm reading. So this is a legit story from Joe Bergen of the Inquisitor. Let's see. Cena has also worked hard for the WWE for about 15 years now, which is an insane amount of time for any wrestler in the WWE. To then talk about the fact that he has been the top guy since 2005 for the company is also telling. The fact that Cena has spent a decade at the top and has proven to be a draw surely means that his presence with the WWE is very valuable. However, the company could be without their top star for at least a little bit. According to Cage Side Seats, John Cena is working far less live events for the company. They are basically limiting his schedule as much as they can. He is not expected to miss any television tapings or upcoming pay-per-views, which means Cena is not going to disappear. So we'll still see Cena on TV. Let's see here. All right. Now, however, the company could be without, let's see. Oh, that pop-up moved the whole story. All right, here we go. Now, all of this is being done to help keep Cena around longer. As mentioned, the WWE, they know he is a major star for them. They cannot afford to lose him because his body can no longer take the constant pains of taking bumps on a regular basis. On top of this, Cena may very well have a career in Hollywood due to his great work last year. Eventually, he is going to get more roles that he cannot turn down. The Rock left WWE over a variety of things, but it all started similar to John Cena's current situation. The Rock was asked to be on television shows and in a movie or two, and then The Rock kept being asked, so the WWE was fine letting him take on a part-time schedule and work with them when he could. Then The Rock was offered major roles all the time that he could not turn down due to how big they would be for his career. He had, he had an easy decision. Stick around WWE and take hard bumps forever, or go into a career in acting where he could have a second career that could last for a very long time. There really is not a decision to make on that end of things. John Cena may be in a similar situation one day, and will have to make a similar choice for the betterment of himself. The Rock did eventually come back to the WWE and comes around as much as he can, which the fans love to see. Cena is one of the hardest working guys that the WWE has. He does anything asked of him. Really, he does. But the issue is that he has done as much as one can do for the WWE and has been a loyal soldier for too long to not be given the chance to have a lighter schedule. The man learned Mandarin Chinese so that he could help WWE get into China. Seriously, who does that sort of thing? He has gone above and beyond for the WWE and has become the guy you think of these days when you think of the WWE. WWE is smart to give Cena the lighter deal as he can do movies and television without interfering with his WWE time too much. The rumor is that he will be going to WWE SmackDown in the WWE draft in, you know, just coming up next week. SmackDown is a notable place where veterans end up because the schedule is usually lighter than WWE Raw's schedule. Now, with that said, Cena will most likely get the easier brand and the easier schedule instead of WWE running the Cena horse into the ground. They will instead keep a man around that may last another 3 years with a full-time schedule and could increase it to another 10 years if things go well for him. John Cena certainly does not want to ever leave the WWE, but retirement is certainly going to happen eventually. The hope is that with this schedule, that will not come anytime soon for the 39-year-old John Cena. So, that was indeed a lot to take in. You know, what does this mean for John Cena and everything going forward? I mean, you know, we'll just have to see and, you know, roll with it as it goes. I mean, I'm hoping that we see a lot more of John Cena and we get to see John Cena, you know, in a lot of special matches the older that he gets and be a special attraction and always stay in good health and continue to do the great things that he does for the wrestling business because John Cena is a great man. Now, Sean, taking all this in, do you have anything from your standpoint that maybe you would like to say about this? If Sean is there, I don't know if Sean is there. He might have actually stepped away for a second. But in the meantime, I'm going to move on with my next story, and then we'll get back to Sean in a second here. Alright, let's see what we got here. Let me pull up the screen share, and I'll screen share this with you. Alright, there we go. Here's another report that's rather interesting. Last week on SmackDown, it was confirmed and we heard that Randy Orton will be taking on the Beast Incarnate Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. So now this, according to WWE rumors, Randy Orton could be transitioning role, and he may even retire after SummerSlam. This according to Will McCormick of TheInquisitor.com here. So let's dive into this for the main event news story of the night, and then Sean will have This Week in Wrestling History coming up next. Then, of course, we close it out with Mr. EC3. But let's dive into this extremely important story right here. WWE just announced last week that Randy Orton would be would be the opponent for Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Overall, the response to the upcoming match has been overwhelmingly positive. The WWE Universe has wanted to see Lesnar versus Orton for quite some time, because the idea of Orton reversing Lesnar's F5 into an RKO paints an incredible picture. Unfortunately for Randy Orton, there is no way that he is walking out of SummerSlam with a victory against the Beast Incarnate. It is too much to ask for Brock Lesnar to lose to Randy Orton now that he dominated Mark Hunt at UFC 200. The chance of the WWE booking Brock Lesnar to lose to Randy Orton now is just way too unlikely, which means the Viper will have to begin his next run with the WWE after a loss at SummerSlam. Of course, a loss like this is not the way a WWE superstar would like to return to the squared circle, but Orton's accomplishments and WWE career are more than enough to carry him through a loss against the Beast. His return to the WWE is facing a bigger concern than the results of one match. So, let's see what we got here. Well, here we got a picture of Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton there. That just looks awesome, taking a look at that. But, alright, WWE's decision to book Orton versus Lesnar has some people scratching their heads, because booking Orton into a match with Lesnar off of a shoulder injury that cost Orton roughly 9 months of his career could be dangerous. Brock Lesnar's wrestling style in the WWE is very aggressive, but he has never, you know, Lesnar, he has never seriously injured someone as far as we know. So the Viper should be perfectly fine, but the concern for his body breaking down goes further than just one match against Lesnar. There is a lot of speculation that Randy Orton's body has become much more fragile than it used to be, and many people are questioning how much longer Randy Orton will be able to wrestle for the WWE. According to a rumor from ringtalk.com, talk with two Ks, there is a possibility of Randy Orton becoming a part-time wrestler for the WWE once he returns to the product. There are a lot of factors surrounding Orton's future in the WWE, but a major factor is the purpose of his character once he returns. Let's see, the pop-up kind of moved it. Okay. Let's see, but a major factor is the purpose of his character once he returns to WWE programming, since this is a new era and it is a different world than what Orton left last October. Okay. So now, the report is claiming that Randy Orton's position on the WWE roster is even more questionable than his body. In 2 weeks, WWE will have Battleground, which will be the last pay-per-view before the brand split becomes official. There are many new feuds for Orton to take part in, whether he is drafted to Monday Night Raw or Tuesday Night SmackDown. Orton will be a top veteran on the roster, but his greater purpose to win championships could block the development of the next generation of WWE superstars. Ultimately, his purpose could be to put over the young talent on the roster and provide them with quality wins over a top veteran. Randy Orton will become a top enhancement talent for the WWE roster. That is a great role for the right guy. For example, a performer like Chris Jericho, my all-time favorite wrestler, has thrived in that role, but it may not be something that Orton is willing to accept. If WWE officials are serious about building new stars, then they are going to need Randy Orton to help them. The big question is if Randy Orton will accept helping the next generation, because that is not something he needs to be wrestling full-time to do effectively. In the long run, a part-time schedule may also provide Orton with more years in the ring. The rumor states that if Orton's body can't hold up or his purpose as a veteran begins to hurt his momentum and his drawing power with the WWE Universe, early retirement could be the only option for the Viper. However, nothing is confirmed as far as that is concerned. First and foremost, Randy Orton has a date with Brock Lesnar in August at SummerSlam. And we're going to have to see how they book this match going forward. Honestly, that's the only thing. We have to see how this match is going to be booked. We got to see if Randy Orton's going to be willing to be an enhancement talent like Chris Jericho, which I don't know if Randy Orton will be able to accept, like the report said. So this is very touchy. If Randy Orton is not going to be able to accept that veteran role of being like Chris Jericho and putting over young stars to help out the company, it may mean retirement for Randy Orton after his match with Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. This is a very touchy situation here. If this match ends up getting booked as a career match for Randy Orton, then it's only obvious that, you know, this is what Randy Orton wanted, but we don't know as of yet. One thing I do know is I can tell you that on Raw on Monday night, they confirmed that Randy Orton will be at Battleground and he will be a guest on the highlight reel with Y2J Chris Jericho. So maybe that will be as Is Randy Orton going to say he wants to put his career on the line? Is Randy Orton going to talk about his injury? Is Randy Orton going to talk about the future? Or is Randy Orton just going to stick around for a while? Who knows? But I know those were two huge stories with a lot of implications. And, Sean, I'm just curious what you happen to think of all this. Because with Cena, I know it's a lot to digest.
Well, with buddy, Orton, I was on the phone. I was on the phone with, you know, the situation and all. But, hey, I caught the end of it there, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Randy Orton return. Hopefully it's not his last match for sure.
I hope it's not, man. And, like, as far as John Cena goes, you know, like that report said, Cena will do whatever is asked of him. So, you know, whether Cena has to be an enhancement talent or, you know, like as far as them taking, you know, Cena off of live events to prolong his career, I think that's a great thing. I mean, there's a lot. That's why I had, you know, when I came across this, Sean, like an hour before the podcast, I'm like, I got to do both because these are both big. They really are.
Hey, that's just how it goes sometimes, right?
Yep.
Well, definitely some good stuff there. And like we said, hope everyone enjoyed this week's news and rumors. We shall see how it plans out in the future coming up. But we are approaching that time of the show where it is this day in wrestling history. Now, it's technically July 14th, but when we started the show, it was July 13th, so that's the date that we go from, the day that we start the show in. Whether or not we breach days in between, that's the new rule. The notorious Eddie Mack of CagesideSeats.com reports that July 13th was quite the impressive day in wrestling history. 34 years ago today in Allentown, Pennsylvania, Mr. Fuji and Mr. Saito defeated Chief J. Strongbow and Jules Strongbow to win the WWF Tag Team Championships. Wow. And 20 years ago today, ECW presented Heat Wave 96 from the ECW Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Of note, news crews from NBC, American Journal, and Inside Edition were all there to film the event as a part of this huge cultural phenomenon that ECW had became out of nowhere back in the summer of 96, 20 years ago today. And how about, what?
That's some rich wrestling history, like right up the road from you, man.
Yeah, two Pennsylvania towns, right, bing, bang, boom. But this one's across state lines. 18 years ago today, on Raw is War from East Rutherford, New Jersey, Kane and Mankind defeated the New Age Outlaws, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, to win the WWF Tag Team Championships, and the Outlaws exercised their rematch clause later in the show, and the second tag title bout went to a no contest. But I don't remember this, but you might, because you were probably watching back then when I think this was just when I stopped watching. 11 years ago today, controversy erupts in the WWE on two fronts. First, the UPN network that broadcast SmackDown at the time tells WWE to pull the Muhammad Hassan character following a controversial angle involving Hassan and The Undertaker that aired on the same day as the terrorist attacks in London, England. The angle receives massive mainstream coverage, including a cover story in the New York Post. To cover for this, WWE posted a segment that was edited from the next day's episode, stating through his attorney, played by a young Tommaso Ciampa, that he would not appear again until the Great American Bash due to backlash. The backlash never went away, and WWE dropped the character altogether following the pay-per-view. This resulted in a huge fan backlash, as his character was quite over with the fans. Mark Copani, the man who played Hassan, was released 2 months later and subsequently left the wrestling business altogether. In recent years, it has been revealed that Hassan would have won the World Heavyweight Championship from Batista at SummerSlam that August
were it not for the backlash. It wouldn't have made Kopani at the time 23, the youngest world heavyweight champion in WWE history. So it would have made Hassan the youngest champion in WWE history.
Wow.
I don't remember the angle they're talking about that got edited out of SmackDown, but I guess it had something to do along the lines with terrorism and stuff like that.
They had, I don't know if this is the segment that got edited out of SmackDown, but I know they had one segment where, you know, Masked Man and Ski Mask ran down and, like, strangled The Undertaker with piano wire and... They like, you know, were holding up Muhammad Hassan and Daivari and carrying their bodies away and stuff like that. It was really controversial stuff, especially.
I'm kind of glad I didn't watch back then. Like, it seems like WWE was really, disgusting in those years.
You know what? This was all in the midst of the first brand draft.
Yeah, and I mean, and our country was in the middle of a very, you know, insane war where, you know, we were losing soldiers left and right, and we were in war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and tensions were higher than they had ever been, and it's like WWE just, you know, we're almost capitalizing on the fear of war, which I think is, you know, one may call it art, another may call it a shameless capitalization. I guess it's somewhere in the middle. I mean, that's up for us to decide individually.
I always wondered, because, you know, back then they didn't have the dirt sheets up like they do today, you know, for us to report on. And I always wondered when they had Muhammad Hassan and The Undertaker, when they had Undertaker completely obliterate Muhammad Hassan at Great American Bash 2005, and then we'd never seen him again. I'm like, they go from pushing this guy to, you know, like he's going to be the next world champ, to just wiping him off the face of the earth. And now I know why, when you read in that report, all the backlash, and they had to keep him off TV up until the Great American Bash because of all of the backlash that was already coming in, and I never knew that until now, because I never really read up on it. But, you know, you shed the light on me there with that, and I can't believe Muhammad Hassan would have been the youngest world champ.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, he's a good looking dude. I didn't even know what he looked like. I mean I think it's a shame WWE bow to the pressure under, you know, scrutiny, but as a publicly traded company, that's whichever way the wind blows, that's the way the money falls, so.
Yep, that's how it always goes, brother.
Always. 4 years ago today in wrestling history, we have some TNA history from Impact in Universal Orlando, Florida. AJ Styles defeated Rob Terry to win the TNA Global Championship. On the same episode, Madison Rayne is awarded the TNA Knockouts Championship after threatening to sue the company following the controversial finish to the title match at Victory Road earlier in the week. And do we remember what happened 1 year ago today on Raw?
1 year ago on Raw.
Well, I will refresh everyone's mind. 1 year ago today on Raw, live from Atlanta, Georgia, the NXT Women's Champion Sasha Banks, former NXT Women's Champion Charlotte, and Becky Lynch all make their WWE main roster's debut in what is now forever known as the Divas Revolution. The three confronted the rest of then Divas rosters before all hell breaks loose. The nine ladies would be broken into trios, Team Bella, Team Bad, and the Submission Sorority, then renamed Team PCB. But all three would be broken up by the end of the year, less than a year after their main roster debuts. the three would be in featured bout at WrestleMania 32 for the reborn WWE Women's Championship.
I remember that, and I remember Stephanie was the one that ushered it in, and she looked better than each and every woman in the night.
Yep.
But I will tell you, because they didn't have in that article why the submission sorority got pulled. I'm going to tell everybody why it got pulled for people that may not know, but I'm sure everybody knows, but if there's someone out there listening that doesn't know. Submission sorority had to be pulled immediately because when you would go on and Google submission sorority, it would bring up these pornographic videos that were on pornographic websites. And I guess they would be titled submission sorority and stuff like that. And WWE, as soon as they immediately caught wind, they pulled it. Now, I wish they would have came up with a better name though than PCB. Like, every time I hear the word PCB, it makes me think peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with the crust cut off. The crust being the C. PB with the crust cut off, that's the C. I mean, that's what it makes me think of. And, you know, you would think WWE Creative, that's why they have a creative team. To be more creative, and they just came up with like the most generic name possible. You know what? You could have had kindergarten, you could have lined up preschoolers and said write down the initial of each of these young ladies' first names, and they would have wrote down PCB. They did something a preschooler, you know, could have done.
Well, and a little bit of a bonus here. 19 years ago today, WCW presented Bash at the Beach. And here's some highlights. I know you'll like this one. Bash at the Beach, Chris Jericho defeated Ultimo Dragon to retain his WCW champion, Cruiserweight Championship. The Steiner Brothers defeated the great Muta and Mashiro Chono. Juventud Guerrera, Hector Garza, and Liz Mark Jr. defeated La Parca, Psychosis, and Villano IV. And Chris Benoit defeated Kevin Sullivan. As a result of their loss, Kevin Sullivan was forced to leave WCW. And Jeff Jarrett defeated Steve Michael to retain the WCW United States Heavyweight Championship. Scott Hall and Macho Man Randy Savage defeated Diamond Dallas Page and Kurt Hennig. And a little bit of a side note here in the Chris Benoit and Kevin Sullivan match, because, you know, we've touched on conspiracy theories here before and all of that weird stuff. But real quick, 9 years ago today, funeral services were held also for Nancy and Daniel Benoit in Daytona Beach, Florida. Nancy and Daniel, along with Chris Benoit, all died 2 weeks prior in a double murder suicide in their home in Atlanta. The official record states that Chris Benoit murdered both his wife and his son and then killed himself as well. It's just crazy. 9 years ago today, and 19 years ago today, on that same date, Chris Benoit defeated Kevin Sullivan, Nancy Benoit's former husband, or I think, right? They were married?
Yep, they were married, yep.
So 19 years ago today, Chris Benoit defeated his wife's ex-husband and made him leave WCW, and then 10 years after that, to the same date, was both of their wife's funeral. So that's pretty weird there. Very tragic. And also on Bash at the Beach 96, Roddy Piper defeated Ric Flair. Or actually this is Bash at the Beach 97, sorry. But yeah, what a match this must have been. Roddy Piper defeated Ric Flair. And in the main event for that night, Lex Luger and the Giant defeated Dennis Rodman and Hollywood Hogan. Dennis Rodman and Hulk Hogan taking on The Big Show and Lex Luger. It sort of ties in. This wouldn't be the first time The Big Show has faced an NBA Hall of Famer.
That's true. Now he's on the verge of facing one again, and you know what the funny thing is? Talking about the whole Kevin Sullivan thing, what I also wanted to touch on. Yes, Nancy Sullivan, I guess, when she was married to Kevin Sullivan, she was married to him. And Kevin Sullivan was the one that came up with the storyline to have, you know, like his wife have an affair with Chris Benoit, but then they could have this personal rivalry. And then throughout all of that, that rivalry, that storyline that Kevin Sullivan himself cooked up, in the meantime, Nancy Benoit and Chris Benoit ended up falling in love while working with each other. And that's what caused the whole real life rift. And that's why there was all these conspiracy theories going around with, you know, Kevin Sullivan and, you know, possibly having something to do with the whole Benoit thing. And, you know, obviously, I haven't sat down to listen to it. I got to one day, but I guess after hearing, you know, Nancy Benoit's sister, you know, we know pretty much that it was Chris Benoit that did it, that there really are no conspiracy theories to it. But, yeah. And then going into the main event of this WCW Bash at the Beach, man, Dennis Rodman and Hogan, they were teaming, you know, for a couple years there, because the next year at Bash at the Beach 98, you had Hogan and Rodman against DDP and Karl Malone. So, I mean, wow. NBA Hall of Famers have, you know, they have come in the wrestling world, and Big Show's gone against Rodman.
I think a lot of this had to do with TNT's connection, you know, with TBS. They're both Turner Networks, and, you know, that's where the NBA is always played on TNT and TBS, so. If anyone's wondering, wow, how did WCW get all these NBA players? It's because they both, you know, air on the same network. But, yo, Big T, I gotta get going here, but I just wanted to say thanks so much for having me again, buddy, and it was an awesome show. And sorry again for being a little short tonight, but, you know, I just hope everyone could understand that on a personal note that I could request some prayers and love for a family member of mine who is very near and dear and is experiencing a bit of a little, hospitalization. So, you know, I just wish and pray everyone listening, everyone who listens in the future, Big T, I wish it for you and your family. I wish everyone the best and nothing but peace and love, and just keep putting those positive vibes out in the world, because life's too short not to be a good person, I always say. So thanks again for having me, and hope everyone enjoys the show, and we will be back here again next week for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. We'll talk about the story. You know, obviously we heard the spoilers of Daniel Bryan being the SmackDown general manager. So the draft special is going to be big. I mean, exactly when we'll hit the air, I'm thinking maybe just like 5 minutes before the draft starts, so that way we get the intros in and, you know, get everything going, and then we'll be around for a little post show afterwards. But it's going to be fun on Tuesday night. Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be big. So start sharing it all over the internet. Let people know that this draft special is going to happen, because this is going to be, dare I say, one of our biggest podcasts that I think we could possibly ever have, Sean. This is going to be something to see.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much for having me, and we will see you Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for SmackDown Live SmackDown.
Yes, sir. And are you sticking on with me for the end?
I'm going to check out.
All righty.
All right, man. I'll hit you up tomorrow, okay?
Yep, give me a call and let me know how everything's going. I hope everything, you know, will be okay. Hang in there, man.
Me too. Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate that. And thanks, everyone, for hanging out. We'll see you Tuesday.
Yes, sir. We'll see you then, buddy.
See ya.
See ya. All right, guys. Well, it's been a damn good show. It's been a hell of a ride tonight. And, you know, Daniel Bryan, I guess I could read this story to you. I'll read this and then I'm going to check out and, but I'll close up the show with this. Let me find this story here for you. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you guys have heard about the SmackDown GM, you know, the everything getting leaked and all that stuff. So that's basically what I'm going to be presenting, you know, to you here in the closing segments. All right. Let's see. Let's see if this is it, if the story will open up here. So I can report this to you guys. Cause there's a lot of things, you know, on the heels of the draft. And I think it's the next time we're going to be on is going to be, you know, the draft special. Might as well let you guys know about this one here. Let's see if I can find the story, because there's so many of them, I just want to click on the right one here, too. Alright. SmackDown GM leaked. Alright. SmackDown GM. Let's see. Giving me a little bit. Make sure you're pulling it up. But don't worry, I'll get it pulled up here for you guys. All right, here we go. I believe this is going to be it right here. Just gonna wait for it to load. This is on the Inquisitor.com. Okay. Still loading here. But just to let you guys know, this draft special that Sean and I are going to be doing, it's definitely going to be a big one. It's going to be a big show. I know that you guys are going to, you know, you guys are definitely going to be invested in this. And I think it's going to be a great show for everybody to enjoy. All right, let's see here. All right, here it is. I finally got the story up, people, so now, let me get the screen share on for you. Let's see. Screen share it. Okay. Boom, there we go. We're on. Alright, so. WWE, this according to Inquisitor.com, WWE News Daniel Bryan to be announced as new general manager of SmackDown. This is July 12, 2016, written by Andy Slawecki of the Inquisitor.com. And let's see what we got here. There's quite a bit of confusion that ended up being nothing more than semantics as it pertained to who would run Monday Night Raw and who would be in charge of SmackDown. The semantics aspect related to the specific titles of those in charge. Vince McMahon returned to Raw this past Monday to try and clear all that up and then to delegate responsibilities to whoever would end up running each brand. It had previously been reported that the general manager title that had been used frequently in the past would be done away with in favor of the COO moniker. However, Vince reversed course a bit and determined that there would be a commissioner of Raw and one for SmackDown as well. As most fans are aware by now, Stephanie McMahon was named the new commissioner for the flagship show Raw, while Shane will be the commissioner for the new SmackDown Live brand. So that's a couple of pretty interesting things there. Another interesting layer was added when Vince explained to his children that they would each have opportunity to delegate themselves by naming a general manager for each of their respective shows. So the GM title was replicated after all. Okay, so we have the GM title back. And those individuals will be revealed next week on Raw in what is already shaping up to be quite a major show. Next week will be the first glimpse into WWE's kayfabe attempt at a ratings war between Raw and SmackDown. Alright, so there's something interesting. Now, Raw went off the air with a significant cliffhanger. Who will Shane and Stephanie choose to run the day-to-day operations of Raw and SmackDown? And actually, a second long-term cliffhanger was planted when Triple H's name was brought up to close out the segment. The thought is that the reference to the game and the ensuing slap may set up the stage for an eventual match between Hunter and Shane. But that is down the line, I'm assuming WrestleMania 33 in my own opinion, as the GM unveilings will take short-term priority. And as it happens, the WWE may have accidentally leaked information as to who will be named the new general manager of SmackDown when the show goes live on Tuesday nights, beginning next week. As reported by Wrestling INC, WrestlingInc.com, the company prematurely sent out an alert on its app stating that the Yes Movement takes over SmackDown Live, as seen in the image below. Obviously, this means that Shane will name none other than Daniel Bryan as his new GM of SmackDown Live. But as you can see, there's a screenshot on the WWE app. That's the alert that was brought out. The Yes Movement takes over SmackDown. And, you know, there you go. If you want me to read the whole thing, I will. It says the Yes Movement takes over SmackDown Live. The Yes Movement takes over SmackDown Live. Over the last month, former GMs and power players attempted to maneuver themselves into the position of SmackDown Live commissioner, at which point Shane and Stephanie McMahon would send them away, passive aggressively attempt to install themselves as the fortuner for the blue brand's figurehead. Mr. McMahon does not do passive aggressive. He is all about open competition. So the chairman relieved Shane of his raw duties to install him as SmackDown commissioner, giving Stephanie sole control of Raw with a twist. As first order of business among the two commissioners, Mr. McMahon commanded that each of his children select a GM next week on Raw to handle their day-to-day business, meaning the competition between Shane and Stephanie has just begun in earnest. And if the face-to-face confrontation between the McMahons was any indication, it is about to escalate to a whole new level. So that right there coming from the WWE app shows you that WWE might have just really let one out of the bag there. Now, it is unclear whether the message was leaked intentionally to stir up conversation, but it should be noted that the alert was quickly removed and deleted after a short period of time. That should indicate that it was done by accident, but nonetheless, WWE may have spoiled their own surprise. Fortunately for them, there is still another half of the surprise to be unveiled, as no information has become available as to who Stephanie McMahon will choose to be the GM of Raw. Even before Daniel Bryan retired, he stated publicly how he wished he could have been exclusive to SmackDown to help bring back prestige to one of the secondary championships in the show itself. This was long before the announcement of the brand split, but now it appears that he might get his wish, albeit in a totally different capacity. Since returning to the WWE in January, actually it was February, February 23rd to be exact, so not January, but ever since returning to the WWE in February, Shane McMahon has proclaimed himself as the instrument of change and the advocate of the new era. It should come as no surprise that Shane would name one of the most popular superstars ever as the GM of SmackDown, the show more likely to demonstrate the change fans are, you know, are clamoring for. Whether that means Stephanie will go with a heel-like persona to run her show remains to be seen, but the chances are more likely now. Most recently, Bryan has been the color commentator for the WWE's Cruiserweight Classic, while also helping Nikki Bella with a new finishing maneuver in the event she is ever cleared to return to the ring. But becoming the new GM of SmackDown would certainly trump all of that and make Tuesday nights that much more interesting. So, now you hear this big story from me. And, you know, let me tell you guys something here. That's huge. I hope Daniel Bryan, you know, eventually gets to, that he is the GM and he gets to run things his way, because that's going to be damn good. But as far as Stephanie, I think Triple H being named her GM is the only avenue to go. I don't see anybody else being named for Stephanie's GM position on Raw except for Triple H. They're going to do the whole authority thing again. I mean, if you're going to twist my arm and do a possible secondary pick, maybe Eric Bischoff to give that whole surprise of, oh, Bischoff and Stephanie were against each other when it was the first draft of Raw and SmackDown, and now Bischoff and Stephanie are together running Raw. But I don't know. I just see Triple H being the one that will, you know, be the GM on his wife's show. And, you know, Shane with Daniel Bryan, I think it's going to do just fine. But Sean and I are going to have all this to cover on Tuesday night while the draft is taking place. We will be on live while the draft is taking place. So make sure you tune in and listen to us. If you're on the road, or if you're not at home and you're not watching SmackDown, or, you know, something's going on where you can't be in front of the TV, tune in right here Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time, to hear all of the latest breaking updates and news to what's happening in the draft, who gets drafted where, all that good stuff. Make sure you tune in. That is very important. Don't forget to like this video, comment, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're up to 223 subscribers. Let's get that moving on up still. And don't forget to click on the links down below to subscribe to the podcast and leave it a 5-star rating on Podomatic and iTunes, all that good stuff. Make sure you do that. If you want to check out my Raw review with Sean from this past Monday night, link is down below. So everything you need to know about my YouTube channel, my podcast, everything that I do, everything's down below. Check out my website, www.beyondtheringofbigt.com. The number one website for all of your professional wrestling needs on the internet today, and this Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast is the number one podcast on youtube.com and the number one podcast for all of your professional wrestling needs on the internet today as well. So I really appreciate you guys watching tonight, and you know how we end the show every week. We gotta end it with Mr. EC3, right? We got to. That's the only way it can end. But, you know, I really appreciate everybody watching tonight. And you know, leave your comments down below. Let me know what you think about everything. And, you know, I'll be sure to try to answer all the comments that I can. So leave them and make sure you tune in to me and Sean Tuesday night while the draft is taking place. I'll be tweeting this out on my Twitter, you know, putting it on my Facebook page. I'm sure Sean will be doing the same, promoting this. So make sure you check us out. We will be the number one place for draft coverage right here. Don't look anywhere else except Beyond the Ring of Big D. This is where you want to be. So, with all that being said, guys, it's definitely been one hell of a night. It really has. I had a ball. I know Sean had a ball. And you know what? Instead of just getting off right away, I figured I'd read that Daniel Bryan story because it just caught my eye. And I'm like, you know what? I might as well get out of the way now. And I'm a huge Daniel Bryan fan. I love Daniel Bryan. And I'm sure a lot of you guys are looking forward to seeing Daniel Bryan again, I would imagine. So many good things happening. And only thing we can do is keep hoping for bigger and better with the draft coming around the corner. But anyway, guys, I'm just thinking of, what else I'm going to do this week. And I just remembered to keep you guys updated. WWE Thursday Night SmackDown, the last ever episode of Thursday Night SmackDown. I will be live on YouTube doing a review Thursday night at around 10:30 p.m. after SmackDown has taken place. So make sure you jump on and you check that out because that's going to be a pretty awesome show. And, you know, I'll keep you updated on the last ever taped episode of SmackDown because from now on it'll be live after this. And as far as for the rest of the week, that will probably be the last time I'll be on the rest of the week. And then when the new week hits, you'll probably see me come on for a Raw review, a Monday Night Raw review after Raw on Monday night. And then the next time you'll see Sean back with me is when we do the podcast on Tuesday night during the draft. So a lot of big things coming up. Make sure you stay tuned to my channel and keep up with everything going on because it's only going to get bigger and it's only going to get better. And, you know, we're just rolling with it. We're rolling with it and doing what we can do. But that's about it, guys. It's almost 1 o'clock here on the East Coast. I know if there's any of you watching on the West Coast, it's only going on like 10 o'clock right now, but I'm going to sit down and relax the rest of my night away, and I'm going to stay on top of all of this news and rumors for you. Just make sure. I'm doing a lot of promoting tonight. I know it's a lot, but I'm doing a lot of promoting to get the word out there. Tune in Tuesday night. I cannot stress that enough. Tune in Tuesday night to see the absolute best coverage, wall-to-wall coverage of the entire WWE draft. We're also going to have a little after show when the draft goes off the air. We'll probably be on the air until like 10:30. You know, we'll do a recap of the draft. We're going to give you the best draft coverage, period, that's out there. There's no one that's going to compete with our draft coverage. So if you got friends, share this video all over the internet. Let people know Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, on live on YouTube.com. Make sure you check out Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast for all your draft coverage. And for all of you in iTunes and Podomatic Land listening to it on podcast style, make sure you check out iTunes and Podomatic. Keep your devices glued to my channel and my podcast, because this is the best out there. So thank you very much, guys, for watching tonight. And I'm going to close this show the only way I know how. Let me get the screen share set up here for you guys. And let me take a look. I just got to get this up and on here, because you know how we close it every week. As far as everybody watching, I'm sure, you know, viewers that have been watching for a while, you know how we close it for new viewers. We close it with a message from a buddy of mine. And he's in the wrestling business. He's former two-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. EC3, and he closes out the podcast every week for us here. So I'm going to turn it over to him right now. Let's get that screen share button up. And let's see. Drum roll. Wait a minute. Let's get the drum roll. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here he is. There he is. In all his glory. Mr. EC3, the Carter the Third. He's going to send us on home for the night. Make sure you tune in Tuesday night, like I said, for the best draft coverage of the WWE Brand Extension Draft here on the internet, the Beyond the Ring of Big T Wrestling Podcast. Check it out Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Be here. We will see you next week. And we're going to send it on over to EC3 right here, right now. And good night, everybody. See you Tuesday night.
Hello, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring.